finish. But then I thought I'd better think of something a little better than that. So I looked on the computer, this being Thanksgiving Day convention. We'd like to use that as a theme for our Vesper service this evening. Our Heavenly Father arranged in the Mosaic Law that the fall of the year, after the harvest, would be a time of thanksgiving for Israel. Americans have celebrated a Thanksgiving Day for centuries. Much confusion exists as to the date and place of the first Thanksgiving, the earliest being September the 8th, 1565, at the site of what is now St. Augustine, Florida. The one we learned about in grammar school was at Plymouth Rock with Indians and pilgrims and turkeys, and that never happened, but that was in 1621. And whatever's right, I found the following when I went on the internet and looked around. This is a proclamation, Thanksgiving Proclamation, 1777, by the Continental Congress of the First National Thanksgiving Proclamation. In Congress, November 1st, 1777. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, and to implore such farther blessings as they stand in need of, and it having pleased Him in His abundant mercy, not only to continue to us the innumerable bounties of His common providence, but also to smile upon us in the prosecution of a just and necessary war for the defense and establishment of our unalienable rights and liberties, particularly in that He hath been pleased in so great a measure to prosper the means used for the support of our troops and to crown our arms with most signal success. It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of the divine benefactor, and that together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God, through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, that it may please Him graciously to afford His blessings on the governments of these states, respectively, and prosper the public council of the whole, to inspire our commanders, both by land and sea, and all under them, with that wisdom and fortitude which may render them fit instruments under the providence of Almighty God, to secure for these United States the greatest of all human blessings, independence and peace, that it may please Him to prosper the trade and manufacture of the people and the labor of the husbandman, that our land may yield its increase, to take schools and seminaries of education so necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty, virtue, and piety under His nurturing hand, and to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consisteth in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And it is further recommended that servile labor and such recreation, as though at other times innocent, may be unbecoming the purpose of this appointment, be omitted on so solemn an occasion. November 1st, 1777. And you know the war referred to there, of course, is the one that started when we were trying to get freedom from England back in, started in April, you know, the war began in April 19, 1775, and it continued until 1781. And so this was a proclamation made during that time. Now we'll continue with poetic verse and some hymns and some congregational singing. And I'm going to first of all call on Brother Mark Davis, who will read a poem entitled The Transformation. Brother Mark.
The Transformation. To the potter's house I went down one day and watched him while molding the vessels of clay. And many a wonderful lesson I drew as I noted the process the clay went through. Trampled and broken, downtrodden and rolled to render more plastic and fit for the mold. How like the clay that is human, I thought, when in heavenly hands to perfection brought. For self must be cast as the dust at his feet before it is ready for service made meet. And pride must be broken and self-will lost and laid on the altar, whatever the cost. But lo, by and by, a delicate vase of wonderful beauty and exquisite grace. Once it wants the vile clay, ah yes, yet how strange. The potter hath wrought such a marvelous change. Not a trace of the earth nor mark of the clay. The fires of the furnace have burned them away. Wondrous skill of the potter, the praise is his due, in whose hands to perfection and beauty it grew. Thus with souls lying still, content in God's hand, that do not his power of working withstand, they are molded and fitted, a treasure to hold, vile clay now transformed into purest of gold.
Thank you, Brother Mark. And now, Brother Jim Parkinson is going to lead us in singing hymn number 37, Boundless Grace. Hymn 37.
Thank you.
give thanks, thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father, what more is more important than the grace that He has called us out of the world of darkness to know Him and His Son? Now we're going to have a poem read by Sister Terry Brand entitled The Right Pathway. Right was the pathway. Excuse me. Terry?
Light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after suffering, crown after cross, sweet after bitter, song after sigh, home after wandering, praise after cry, sheaves after sowing, sun after rain, sight after misery, peace after pain, joy after sorrow, calm after blast, rest after weariness, sweet rest at last. Near after distant, gleam after gloom, love after loneliness, life after tomb. After long agony, rapture of bliss, right was the pathway leading to this.
And may we all come to that conclusion, right was the pathway leading to this. We have now a reading to be done by Sister Dawn Shalhoub. Sister Dawn.
The Way. The vision may dawn, the dream may waken, the heart may leap with a new inspiration on some mountaintop. But the test, the triumph, is at the foot of the mountain, on the level plain. The workshop of character is everyday life. The uneventful or commonplace hour is where the battle is won or lost. Thank God for a new truth, a beautiful idea, a glowing experience. But remember, unless we bring it down to the ground and teach it to walk with feet, work with our hands, and stand the strain of daily life, we have worse than lost it. We have been hurt by it. A new light in our heart makes an occasion, but an occasion is an opportunity. Not for building a tabernacle and feeling thankful and looking back to a blessed memory, but for shedding the new light on the old path and doing old duties with a new inspiration. The uncommon life is the child of the common day, but in an uncommon way.
Thank you, Sister Dawn. And now we have a poem to be read by Brother Ken Allison, O Soul of Mine. Brother Ken.
O soul of mine, be calm, be still, submit thyself to God. In all thy ways yield to his will, nor faint beneath the rod. O soul of mine, like potter's clay within the master's hand, O let him mold thee day by day, till faultless thou shalt stand. O soul of mine, have faith, believe, nor count the cost of strife. Fight on, faint not, thou shalt receive at last the crown of life.
Thank you, Brother Ken. And now we're going to have another hymn, number 219, Render Thanks to God. And Brother Jim is going to lead it.
You're very fortunate that you sat in the front row, Brother Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jim. And now, Sister Sharon Whitaker will read a poem entitled Friendly Obstacles.
For every hill I've had to climb, for every stone that bruised my feet, for all the blood and sweat and grime, for the blinding storms and burning heat, my heart sings but a grateful song. These were the things that made me strong. For all the heartaches and the tears, for all the anguish and the pain, for the gloomy days and the fruitless years, for the hopes that lived in vain, I do give thanks, for now I know that these were the things that helped me grow. 'Tis not the softer things of life which stimulate man's will to strive, but bleak adversity and strife do most to keep man's will alive. O'er rose-strewn paths the weaklings creep, but brave hearts dare to climb the steep.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon. And now Sister Nancy Clayton has a poem. We thank thee, Lord.
We thank thee, Lord, for weary days when desert streams were dry, and first we knew what depths of need thy love could satisfy. We thank thee for the rest in him the weary only know, the perfect, wondrous sympathy we needs must learn below. The touch that heals the broken heart is never felt above. His angels know his blessedness, his way warn saints his love.
And now we're going to have a little singing group, and was suggested that I thought it might be called a quartet and a half, but as it turns out, it was suggested maybe we should call it Brother Tim Krupa and the Five Saints.
We're going to practice a few times before we... if you can turn this one off, that would be nice.
Thanks for everything. Now we have a poem by Janja Kaus.
Oh, thank you.
A present help. There is never a day so dreary, but God can make it bright. And unto the soul that trusts Him, He giveth songs in the night. There is never a path so hidden, but God will show us the way, if we seek for the Spirit's guidance and patiently wait and pray. There is never a cross so heavy, but the loving hands are there, outstretched in tender compassion, the burden to help us bear. There is never a heart that is broken, but the loving Christ can lead, can heal. For the heart that was pierced on Calvary does still for His people feel. There is never a life so darkened, so hopeless and so unblessed, but may be filled with the light of God and enter His promised rest. There is never a sin nor a sorrow, there is never a care nor loss, but that we may carry to Jesus and live at the foot of the cross. What more can we ask than His promised? And we know that His word cannot fail. Our refuge when storms are impending, our help when temptations assail. Our Savior, our friend and Redeemer, our portion on earth and in heaven. For He who withheld not His own Son hath with Him all things freely given.
Thank you. And now Sean Humphrey will read a poem, Is It For Me?
Is it for me? Is it for me, dear Savior, Thy glory and Thy rest? For me so poor and humble, oh, shall I thus be blessed? Is it for me to see Thee in all Thy glorious grace, and gaze in endless rapture on Thy beloved face? Is it for me to listen to Thy beloved voice, and hear its sweetest music bid even me rejoice? A thrill of solemn gladness hath hushed my very heart, to think that I may really behold Thee as Thou art. Behold Thee in Thy beauty, behold Thee face to face, behold Thee in Thy glory, and rest in Thine embrace.
Certainly a glorious prospect. We have a few concluding scriptures we'd like to read. First Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 30:4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalm 30:12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I give thanks unto Thee forever. Psalm 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of Thy wondrous works. Psalm 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay Thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And Psalm 59:2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. And finally, Psalms 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And that concludes our vespers.
Thank you very much, Brother Bob Wilson. Such a diversity of people, and we all come together with that one hope and that one thought in our minds, and that's serving the Lord and to do His will. And it just always amazes me to see people that I haven't seen for maybe a year, maybe longer. You walk up to them and it's like you just were around the corner. They're closer than your neighbors and everything, and it's a wonderful thing. I can't add anything to the wonderful Vesper service, so we're going to ask everybody to stand, and we'll ask Brother Bob Wilson if he'll close in prayer. Please remember that we'll be here at 9:15 again in the morning, and please be careful when you go home.
First, I'd like to say thank you to all of my staff, especially Jim Parkinson, who I had not talked to in advance, and just happened to be sitting here, and so I took advantage of that. Our most kind and gracious, loving Father in heaven, we come to Thee with humble hearts, grateful to Thee for the wonderful privilege we have of knowing Thee, of knowing of Thy great plan of salvation, and of knowing of the incomparable character that Thou hast shown to us through the gift of Thy Son, and through His character that is in the flesh, where we were able to see Thy character, and that we can know Thy love and kindness and mercy and Thy grace. And we thank Thee for the great plan of salvation that Thou hast revealed unto us. And we thank Thee for this convention and for this day of convention and the lessons we've had from the platform and our fellowship together with those of like faith. We thank Thee and we praise Thee. We pray Thy blessing on all Thy people throughout the world, and we pray for Thy kingdom to come and Thy will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. We ask all these favors and blessings and give Thee thanks in Jesus' name.